Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to our holiday episode of Tisha's Tea Room, the place where conversations conquer cancer. I'm your host, Tisha, and I'm so glad you're listening in today. It's the holiday season, and it should be a time when people gather and spread Christmas cheer, but with this pandemic among us, it looks a little different this year. The holiday season can be a time of joy and happiness, but for some people, it can also be a time when stress and anxiety hit an all-time high, especially for those that are battling breast cancer. Joining me in the tea room is my good friend and my sister, Kaneen Lewis. Kaneen is an undergraduate and graduate admissions counselor in Atlanta, Georgia. Kaneen was diagnosed with stage 3 ductal invasive carcinoma breast cancer back in February of 2019. So she just celebrated her first cancerversary. She is also a BADDY ambassador with the Organization for the Breast of Us, advocates and provides a voice to the voiceless, bringing awareness to health disparities and biases of women of color that they face when they do have breast cancer. My friend Kaneen, welcome to the show. How are you? Kaneen, are you here? Yeah, there you go.
Hello.
Hey, girl.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
How you doing,
I'm good.
Girl?
I'm tired, but I'm okay.
Good. Well, thank you so much for taking time to come on the show. I know it is a busy time of year, and you are a very busy woman. So just, again, thank you for just taking some time out to come to the tea room and chat with us today. So let's just start off by getting to know a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about your breast cancer journey. How did that come about?
Sure. So I found my lump December 7th. I was getting ready for my company's Christmas party, and I found the lump. I was like, check that out. I'll look at it a little bit later. So I waited like a week. It was still there. I made my appointment with a OB, and I had her check it, and she was like, you know what? I'm going to send you downstairs. So I ended up spending like the whole day at the hospital, going from the imaging center to the ultrasound area to the breast specialist, and all these appointments were being made. And I knew when I touched it that it was cancer, but it was definitely confirmed that day for me. However, it wasn't actually confirmed until February, where they found the one lump. They said that it was very aggressive. Just in that time from when I found it to when they confirmed it, it had grew. So they wanted to hurry up and schedule a lumpectomy, which I had in February of 2019. February. And then in March, I got my port placed in because they found two of the five lymph nodes that they tested. They found cancer in those. And so I did 33 sessions of chemo, and I did two months of radiation. And I ended on October 30th of 2019. I immediately started tamoxifen, and I had to take that for the next 10 years. And then I also developed chemotherapy-induced neuropathy. So I take gabapentin, one pill a day for probably forever. But yeah, that's basically my cancer journey so far. I'm just thankful that I beat it and, continue to be, diligent and focused on, fighting this thing.
Absolutely. And again, congratulations on your 1 year cancerversary. That is a milestone in itself, and every
day. Yes, ma'am.
I consider it to be a milestone because we had to fight like hell to get to where we are. So congratulations. How did you celebrate? Did you do anything to celebrate?
Yes. So when I was going to chemo, I was getting down, and my one of my chemo nurses, Ms. Debbie, she said, you need to plan something really big. I said, okay, because when I went through chemo, I also celebrated my 40th birthday. So I planned a cruise. Yeah, planned a cruise because I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. I was actually at chemo on my birthday. So I planned a celebration cruise to celebrate beating cancer, turning 40, and getting my master's. And so 45 of my family and friends went on a five-day cruise with me, and we partied and we celebrated. I had a birthday party on the boat. I had a happy hour on the boat. Yeah, it was awesome.
That sounds so amazing. I know you had a good time. Oh, that
had
is
a
awesome.
Great time.
So,
yes.
I mean, again, like I said, for those that are out there listening, and when women have these milestones, we don't take these things lightly because we remember what we had to go through to get to that point. And once we make it to that milestone, it is a big yes. You make sure that you celebrate that moment. You celebrate all moments. When you're going through breast cancer, because life things start to get put in perspective for you, and you start to realize that life is precious, and you don't have time for the nonsense, and you don't take things for granted anymore. So that is wonderful. I know. Just reminiscing back to my first cancerversary, my family and friends, we did breast cancer walk back home in my hometown. So yes, and we had a big dinner afterwards, and a couple of longtime friends came in from out of state and surprised me. So I just hearing you talk about your big party and your celebration with your family and friends just made me reminisce about mine, and I definitely wish you many, many more, because we are going to claim that.
Yes.
But absolutely. And then let me ask you this. When you were going through your treatment, did COVID play any part? Did it affect you any? Did it affect you in any way, or has it affected your treatments now?
It has affected my immunotherapy that I still do, the tamoxifen, because I had to go in, I think it was a month after COVID started, I had to, I was supposed to go in to go see my radiation oncologist. And because of COVID, I wasn't able to go in. So we had to do a virtual meeting, and I had to do the same thing with my chemo oncologist so that I can get, my updated prescriptions, as well as I have a handicap placard due to my neuropathy and the pain that I felt.
Okay.
So I had to do that to get it. So I had to do everything virtually. I feel so bad for those who are currently going through right now, because you're not able to bring family members in to chemo with you and things like that.
Right.
So it's not a good thing
hard.
Right now.
It's not, and that's why I continue to pray that this virus definitely gets under control sooner rather than later, because of the fact that these people people that are going through that are having treatments, having to do it like you said by themselves because no family members can go in with them. And I can't even imagine having to go through treatments of this magnitude by myself. I'm already scared, and emotions are and anxiety is on 10. But then having to do it by yourself, So again, and for those that are out there, please just wear your mask.
Yeah.
Tell, Wear your mask,
have your
social distance.
Social distance. Do whatever it takes because, you
yep.
know, so that you can not only protect yourselves, but also thinking about those, again, that are going
yeah.
through treatment. So because you
or
know,
just
you
need
you
treatment.
Don't want to do it for
yep.
yourself. Or that need treatment. If you don't want to do it for yourself,
mm-hmm.
think about those people that need it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have a beautiful daughter who
yes.
is she is your twin. Oh my gosh. How did you break the news to her when you first got diagnosed?
That was probably the hardest thing.
And I can only imagine. And how did she take it in, and how's she doing now?
Okay. So right after I told her I was going to the doctor to find out the results of my lump, I didn't tell her that I already believed that it was cancer, but, you know, I was hoping that it wasn't. But anywho, I went and I told her, I said, if I get negative, you know, that nothing is there, then I will text you. If I don't text you, then I'll come to the school. So I went up to her school. I asked them to call her down so she knew by me coming to the school that it was something. So she came out, and it took everything in me to hold it together, to tell her, to reassure her that, you know, yes, I've been diagnosed with invasive ductal carcinoma, but this is a cancer that I can fight and that I will fight, and that she was my purpose and my reason to fight through this thing. And so
Absolutely.
She cried, and she just tried to encourage me because we're here in Georgia by ourselves primarily. Most of my family is up in Michigan or Tennessee or Texas. And so so it's she and I, but I thankfully have an amazing church family as well as a good group of friends here. And so she came to chemo with me on my birthday. She cried the whole time because it was just hard for her. I basically went through my chemo by myself because I didn't have anybody else to go with me. And so once we beat it, she was on board with celebrating on that cruise. And when I tell you we celebrated,
Absolutely.
We celebrated.
Absolutely.
And so now she is very vigilant about encouraging people to do their self-breast exams, you know, watching it with the underwire bras, all that type of stuff. So she's a little baddie ambassador on her own just because of, you know, her mother. But, yeah, she's doing really good now, but she is aware of, you know, her potential chances, and so we're just trying to make sure she knows what to do so that if God forbid it comes her way, she'll know how to fight it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we also have to understand too that, you know, when you're affected with cancer, it not only affects us, but it does affect children. If you have children, and it not only affects them, you know, it affects them mentally and emotionally. So I can only imagine, you know, how she felt and what she was going through as her,
mm-hmm.
as your daughter. And I'm grateful that you had a support system despite of your family being out of state, because that was my case as
mm-hmm.
well. My family was out of state when I was going through my treatment. But I thank God for the support system that I had, and my immediate family, my mother would come up for my treatments. My immediate family's in South Carolina, and you know, as you know, and I'm here in Maryland, so
mm-hmm.
you know, they would make sure that they would be, especially my mother would make sure she was here for, you know, all the important appointments, the chemo treatments. So, you know, it's just I'm just thankful that you had your church family to not only support
mm-hmm.
you, but to have that support for your daughter as well, because she needed it.
Definitely.
And they
helped so much because of her being, she was a junior in high school. She sings, so she was in four choirs, two musical theater. She was, she got a scholarship to go do a summer program at Berkeley. And all of this was going on during my treatment. And so they came through. They helped me raise money to get her because I wasn't able to work my other jobs that I had. And
you know, they would come pick her up for her practices and things like that. My friends that I work with, they also stepped in to help out. And then when I was towards the end of my treatment, when I started radiation, she was in her senior year. And so, you know, pre-COVID, this is like a couple of months before COVID started. So it was a really, you know, a very, it's supposed to be a very momentous time for her, but she was so worried about me. And so I was so thankful when I beat it, because now we can focus on her. We can have the year that I wanted to have for her. Unfortunately, COVID came through and, you know, snatched up prom and all of that. But thank God her school was able to still do a physical graduation. They moved it to July, and she got to sing. And it was an awesome thing. And now she's in college, and she's doing well. She's doing really well.
And you mentioned, too, which I think is very important, now since you are on the other side of it and she was able to witness that, now she is more vigilant of her own body and how she can now present it, which I think is so important for young Black women, young Black women of color, because there's such a gap, such a big gap in death rates between women of color and Caucasian women. And so that is awesome. That's awesome that she is, you know, she's now educated and she's well aware of what the things that she needs to do to definitely try to prevent it from, God willing, prevent it from happening to her. So we mentioned that you are a baddie ambassador for the wonderful, wonderful organization For the Breast of Us, which I also a baddie myself. So tell me, or tell the listeners rather, what are some things that you are doing to help get the word out about disparities and with women of women of color and breast cancer. So what are some things that you are doing to get that word out and to help bridge that gap?
So I've done a couple of blogs with for the Breast of Us that may hopefully help another sister that's going through or a family member that's going through. I did one in regards to single moms. I did one about losing love during cancer. And then I did one about readjusting to my new body post-cancer or during cancer and post-cancer. I also just recently was selected as a advocacy ambassador for the Susan G. Komen Foundation with their policies and procedures. And so that will allow me to be a voice. Thank you. Be a voice for, you know, women of color as they're making, you know, fighting to make new policies and procedures going forward. Because one of the things I am really adamant about trying to help is to take that stigma of saying you have to be 40 before you can get a mammogram, when they know statistically that women of color are getting it way younger, like in their 20s and things like that. And you should not have to fight with insurance and healthcare to get someone to listen to you and let you get that mammogram so that we can try to attack this thing early and, you know, prevent it if we can. And so I think that the BRCA test should be, you know, encouraged earlier. I think mammograms, ultrasounds, all of that of both breast, cervical, ovaries, all of that stuff. I do not think that they should have a stipulation of age. It should definitely be changed. I also, anybody I talk to, I one of my second jobs is a retail job, and I was ringing up a lady, and she had her had a little pillow in her arm, and I remember when I was going, after my lumpectomy, I used to walk around with my little pillow under my arm, and so I told her, I was like, I'm a breast cancer survivor. I was like, is that why you have the pillow? She said, yes. She was like, I was just diagnosed. I had my lumpectomy yesterday. I had to come in to pick up some stuff, and so I started talking to her about the different organizations around here, which she didn't know about. And now I'm like a mentor. She reaches out to me often to ask me questions, ask me what she should do, you know, in different situations. And so I'm just trying to assist any way I can to help anybody who is going through something, whether cancer or another illness, you know, encouraging them to do that. And then lastly, I'm a very big proponent of mental health. And I feel like a lot of times when they're developing our treatment plans, that is the one thing that is missing. And so I encourage anyone who is currently recently diagnosed, currently going through treatment, post-treatment, still seek mental health care. I recently got one about 2 months ago, and because all of my stuff came to the forefront after I beat cancer. Because I was so focused on the physical side of it and fighting it that I didn't think about the mental component. And so I definitely encourage everyone to seek mental health care. You know, whether you're going through illness or not, we all should. You can, all you can do is help to make yourself better. So
absolutely. And with mental health, you know, there's such a big stigma about mental health in the African-American community, and we need to push that stigma aside and get the help that we need. And because it not only, you know, with cancer, you know, it not only affects you physically, but good Lord, it definitely affects you mentally. And you have to, during treatment and after treatment, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. There's nothing wrong with, you know, self-care is so important. So important. Mm-hmm. So what are the things that you do? What does Kaneen do for self-care? What do you do to woo-saw to make sure that your your mental state is on the up and up? You know, I have some things that I know that I do on a regular basis, sometimes two or three times a day, just to get through the day. That helps me. So what are some things that, share with us some things that you do.
Some of my things, I have a mantra, or I just repeat one thing my grandma used to say, that God doesn't put anything on, doesn't put more on you than you can bear. So I say that to myself. Right. I play my song, which was my theme song throughout my entire journey, which is I Win by Marvin Sapp, who is from where I'm from in Michigan. I love that song because it's so uplifting. And then I am thankful for my sisters that I've gotten through the baddies, as well as my close friends and family. I go to them and I talk and I share an event and we laugh. And then lastly, I crochet and I read. Those are my things. Yeah.
That is awesome. Yes. I Win by Marvin.
You said you used to crochet?
Yeah. My grandmother taught my mother how to crochet, and my mother taught me how to crochet. I haven't crocheted in a long time. The only thing that I can really make is those little, I call them the little, the little cooking mitts.
The pie holder mitt thing.
The pie holder. Yeah. That's it. Pie holder. I can make a little small one of them now. But I know some friends that have has a small business where they make scarves and sweaters and all that. So I'm not that detailed, but I know a lot of people do crochet because it is, you know, it's a stress reliever, and you know, a lot of people do it. And so, you have to crochet me something and send it to me in Maryland.
Oh, I'm like you. The only thing I can do, I'm thankful my Aunt Barbara, hopefully she hears this as she's listening. My Aunt Barbara taught me, my cousin, Dankel, and Teresa all how to crochet.
Okay.
We started off making like baby blankets. I made the blanket, and then I was like, okay, that's too much for me. So I make scarves. That's all I do. That is the only thing I do. But I have a friend who, like you said, has a business. Her business is Margie Liz, MarjiLiz, on Instagram and all of that. And she made me a hat that I just asked her to make. I found some with some earrings she made. And then she also made me what I call a scooty, which is a hat with an infinity scarf in it, so that when I had my afro before cancer, it didn't mess up my hair. So now everybody is buying scooties from her and getting the cap that I encourage her to make. So, I don't have those skills, awesome. Nor do I have that patience. But I can get you a scarf, Tisha. I got you on a scarf.
All right. Well, honey, we'll talk later, and then I'll tell you what colors that I want. I can't wait for that. So, but, you know, the holidays are here.
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, it's five more days until Christmas. What are your plans?
Yes.
Yes, what are your plans for the Christmas holidays?
So Calista and I, my daughter and I, we have a tradition that I've been doing since she was born. She was like 3 months, the first one. We bake cookies on Christmas Eve, and then
okay.
we play cards, and then we also have like little snacks and stuff like that, and then we watch the Die Hard series because, you know, it is a Christmas movie, even though people don't think so. So we usually watch I got all four of them. We'll watch one of those. We usually only make it through one, though, because I fall asleep. But, yeah, then in the morning we'll open gifts and visit with some friends and family here in Georgia, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, COVID is really
changing
that for us. So we'll be at home, but we may reach out to my cousin or somebody that's here and hang out.
Right.
But that's
right.
it. What
yep.
about you?
COVID, you know, has definitely mm-hmm. put a monkey wrench in plans for myself. I normally go home to be with my family in South Carolina for the holidays, but this year, you know, with COVID being, you know, on the rise and just out of control,
mm-hmm.
I've decided to stay here. So this is for me. This actually has been the longest that I have not gone home. I have not been home in a year. And it's really been tough, but you know, we FaceTime nearly 2-3 times a day. But it's, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
just not the same to, you know, to
it's
you
not
know,
the
be
same.
Around.
It's not the
it's
same
not
at
the
all.
Same. So that's why, you know, I'm trying to do my part to make sure that, you know, I'm staying safe and that, you know, it's not being spread so that when we can get out and travel safely. You know, I'm on the first thing smoking
mm-hmm.
in South Carolina. So
you better speak
again,
it.
So I will be here in Maryland, and we'll be, you know, FaceTiming as we open gifts. I already shipped the gifts there. My gifts are here. So we'll do everything via Zoom or FaceTime on Christmas Day. But you know,
okay.
I think about those that, you know, that are going through cancer, that are going through cancer, and, you know, this should be a time when, you know, everyone is happy and
mm-hmm.
they're, you know, everybody's spreading Christmas cheer. But, you know, sometimes when people are going through cancer, it's a time when it stresses them out. It's very stressful. It's, you know, they don't want to be bothered. They feel like they may be a burden on their
mm-hmm.
family members. You know, they may not just, you know, just not physically feel like celebrating. I actually looked up, did some research online, and I found some helpful tips with the Breast Cancer Research Foundation on, you know, how those that are going through cancer, how they can get through the holidays. So I just
mm-hmm.
wanted to share with you and with the listeners out there some of the tips that that I actually found. So a couple of them, one is, you know, accept where you are. If you
yeah.
don't feel okay, then it's all right.
I always say that.
Feel your feelings. Absolutely, Kanae. If you don't feel like mm-hmm. cooking a big meal, don't do it.
Grab something.
Exactly. If you don't want to decorate your house, you don't have to. Some people
mm-hmm.
may feel like holiday, they may feel obligated. No, you don't have to. Like you said, feel your feelings. And not only that,
yep,
but
and they are valid.
Yes, absolutely. Say that again.
They are valid. Your feelings are valid. If you feel what you feel, they are valid. You should communicate them and let people know, okay, today I am not here for this. And, you know, I understand that you are in a different place, and I'm happy for you guys. Go ahead and celebrate, but this is how I feel. And
exactly.
I definitely encourage that, because some people will try, and I think they mean well. I know they mean well. They want you to be uplifted and excited and happy.
Yes.
But if that is not how you feel, that is not how you feel. And I just let them know there's going to be times where I'm not going to be here for it. So if you're going to be around me, you just have to accept that, or I can stay where I'm at. And that's what I do.
Absolutely. I've told you what's going on with me. Respect it. And if you can't respect how I'm feeling at this moment, then you know what? I'm going to stay here. You can go and do you, but this is, and I'm not going to feel bad about it either.
Not at all. Go. Not in the least. And I'm going to sit right here and be in my feelings.
Absolutely. And it's okay. It is okay to, like you said, feel your feelings. It's okay to feel how you're feeling. But the important thing is to stay.
Yeah. The other thing is not to stay in it. Have your feelings, feel them, but tell yourself, okay, I'm allow myself to feel this for a minute, a day, whatever, and then you pull yourself out of it, doing those self-care things like we talked about earlier. Yep.
Absolutely. My best friends will always tell me, okay, Keisha, you got 24 hours. You got one day. Get it out.
Yep.
And the next day, I'm going to call you, and we're going to move on.
So, when you're feeling,
like you said, but don't stay in. Don't stay in that space. Get it out. Get it out of your system and go on. So, absolutely. And just that stuck out to me, too, is, you know, keep your calendar open. You know, this is a time when, you know, let's say pre-COVID, you know, you get invited to all these Christmas parties and these different holidays. Then, you know, you get the invitation, I'm going, but when it's time to go, you may change your mind.
And that's okay. And that is okay. Do not feel bad about it. Just communicate, you know what, I had all intentions on being there. Unfortunately, you know, today I awakened and I just wasn't feeling it. And so I will not be attending. And do not feel any qualms or, you know, bad vibes about that. It is what it is. And if they're truly your people, your village, they understand, they will accept it, and they will move forward. And either way, if they do or don't, you move forward.
Couldn't have said that better myself. Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, again, keep your calendar open. If you get, when that time comes and you want to go to the party, you go and you have a good time. If you don't want to go, just let them know, hey, just like you said, Kaneez, hey, I had every intention of going, but today I just don't feel good. And if they are on your team and on your side, they should be able to understand it. And they will be okay with it. And be flexible with. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say they should be okay with it, but either way, that, like I say, that ain't your bag or that ain't your SHI, you know, rest of the word, but that ain't your stuff to worry about. If they're not okay with it, that's not for you to take that on. You got enough stuff on you. You don't need to take that on and feel like, oh, I feel so bad I wasn't able to. They'll be all right. Like my cousins say, I ain't got it to do. I ain't got it to do.
That's it.
So don't worry about it.
So don't worry about it. And a lot of people do take that burden on and feel obligated. No, you don't. You don't have to. You don't have to. You are going through enough as it is. And if you don't feel like going, then don't go. And be all right with
And that's how I was one of those people, Tisha. I was those ones who, if you called me, I was always like, yeah, I'm good, I'm great. And I would be in complete pain, you know, not necessarily getting up and going somewhere, but like if you called me, I never wanted you to hear that I wasn't feeling good over the phone. I never wanted I didn't want to worry my people. And so thankfully, talking to my sisters through For the Breast of Us, that's how I learned feel your feelings, and it's okay to feel your feelings. So, don't worry about being a burden. Your people, your village, they don't look at it like that. They know they're aware. They know that every day is not going to be a happy-go-lucky, peachy day. They're aware of that. It was really hard for me, though.
Absolutely. And again, these tips can be found on the Breast Cancer Research Foundation website.
Mm-hmm.
Please go there and read those for those that are out there listening. Great tips on how you can get through the holidays and to make the holidays bearable for yourself. So, Kaleena,
yeah.
I just want to, when I say this has definitely been a wonderful chat today. I'm just so thankful that you took the time to come out and stop by the tea room and chat with me today and chat with all of us today about, you know, your journey and for those that, you know, how to get through the holiday season. So I appreciate you. You know, I love you so much. But tell everyone how can they find you and follow you on social media?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Tisha. You know I love you. I'll do anything for you, so it was not a problem.
And
I enjoyed myself.
Thank you.
My ad is Kenene on Instagram, so Kenene. And then on Facebook, I am Kenene Jacobs Lewis, my maiden and my current name on Facebook. And I'm on Twitter too. I'm Kenene on Twitter. I don't really have to get too creative with it because of my name. So, yeah.
Okay. So, will you come back on the show and chat? Will you talk about it? Definitely.
Hopefully, we can do it in person. Shoot.
Oh, absolutely. All of that is in the works for the coming year. I have some great ideas for Tisha's Tea Room coming in 2021, so definitely be on the lookout for that. So, I just thank you so much. You know, I love you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you again for stopping by the Tea Room. Well, we had such a good chat today, and I hope everyone that's out there listening, I hope that you have been blessed by what you have heard today and got some information on, you know, some good information on, you know, how just to get through the rest of 2020, because this has definitely been a year. My hope is that we end this year on a good note, that great and wonderful things happen to end this year. Kenene, I wish you and your family and Lissa, I wish you nothing but peace and love and just a wonderful and safe holiday season. I can't wait to see you hopefully soon in person.
Yes.
Because y'all not going to have these little happy hours and these little hours without me. So that was y'all's one and only time. But that's a story for another day. But for everyone that is out there listening, I just want to say on behalf of Tisha's Tea Room, the place where conversations conquer cancer, I want to wish everyone a happy, a healthy, and safe holiday season, and we will see you in the new year. Kenene, take care.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, and we will talk soon.
Yes, ma'am, we will. You take care. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And thank you again.
You're welcome. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. Bye.